Hello, I'm Colin Bishop, and it's time for you to Ask the Mayor. Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong is here to answer questions about city issues which concern you today. The phone numbers to call to speak with Mayor Armstrong are toll-free 877-285-9348 and 855-0811 here in Bloomington. If you prefer, you can send us an email at mayor@indiana.edu. That's mayor@indiana.edu. And once again, the phone numbers are 877-285-9348 and locally 855-0811. Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong with us today. Mayor Armstrong, it's been a while. How are things going?
Oh, Colin, things are going just great. Just a lot of activity in and around Columbus. And there was something that happened yesterday, whatever that was.
Not sure what that was, but maybe you can enlighten the listeners a little bit.
I wish I could. You know, you never know. The only thing I know, it brought out a lot of people. And if that's what it takes to bring out a lot of people, so be it. I'm just glad that a lot of people went to the polls in all parts of Indiana. Yeah, especially in Bartholomew County, it was surprising, the numbers.
Yeah, record turnouts all across the state, it looks like.
Yeah, well, you know, I think most of this had to do with, naturally, the presidential campaigns. But I think also people, I'm trying to look at all the different numbers, and I haven't come up with all the correct ones or incorrect ones, but it seemed as though a lot of Democrats turned out this primary to cast their ballots, and a lot of the Republicans, it seemed as though they were unopposed, except locally we had some opposition in the county council arena, and that was a surprise.
And I know that you were a Clinton supporter, so are you fairly pleased with the results statewide?
Well, sure. I'm very pleased. It seems as though when I went to bed last night, it was a larger lead than when I woke up this morning. But, you know, it got people out. I think they're two great candidates. And whatever happens, they need to get into the fall and get things going. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, sure. And with a couple of precincts remaining, I think still it's Clinton with 50.9% of the vote and Obama with 49.1%.
Yeah,
so still
close.
Very close. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, really close.
And as far as the gubernatorial race is concerned, you were supporting candidate Schellinger.
Yes.
And it looks like he's probably not going to pull this one out.
No, it looks like he's going to be short of a few thousand votes. But, you know, it did bring people out. I think, there's over a million votes cast. And when you're within 5,000 votes or so, that's pretty good. You know, it just showed that both of them had a lot of support. And, you know, at the end of the day, each party, Democrat or Republican, they need to unite behind their candidate. And the Democrats need to pull some Republican votes, and I'm sure the Republicans need to pull some Democrat votes. But I think in the fall, I hope it's still there's a lot of people that want to get out there and have that great privilege that we do have to vote and do that. I'd like to see even a bigger turnout, and I think we will have a great turnout in the fall.
Yeah, and it looks like, just so our listeners know, it looks like Jill Long Thompson, most recent count from the Indy Star, has her up by 50.2% and Schellinger at 49.8%.
So yep, that's running it pretty tight.
Absolutely. And as far as Columbus is concerned, you guys had some excitement down there with a couple candidates. Barack Obama visited. Mm-hmm. Bill Clinton came on behalf of his wife, as mm-hmm. well as Chelsea Clinton. How did that go?
And Robert Kennedy Jr.
Yeah. As well.
You know, I was not here for Bill Clinton or Barack. I was here for Chelsea and Robert Kennedy, but I guess they were some, from what I understand, some good turnouts. Now, the city, I guess, got some negative publicity because we weren't fair to one candidate or the other, according to some people. But, you know, we don't control their campaigns. They do what they want to do, but it's one of those things that we were thrilled to have them in town, and it's just nice when that happens because it does bring excitement into a community. And, you know, Columbus is a relatively large Republican community, so when you have some Democrats show up and get together, it's really great.
Yeah, so you missed out on Bill Clinton's visit. If you wouldn't mind, go ahead and tell the listeners where you were.
Well, I was playing golf. No, I wasn't. I'm sorry. Actually, we were on an economic development trip to Japan and to China. And great trip. Myself, along with the economic development executive director and a member of our board, went to Japan. And we were there for 8 days, I believe it was, and then We were in China for 11 days, along with Ryan and Gene Ho, who also live and work in Columbus. So it was an eventful, really eventful trip, and we're looking for some excitement here in the future.
Now, I know you've been to China before, but was this your first trip to Japan?
No. I've been to Japan many times. As most listeners would know about Columbus, we have 17 Japanese manufacturing plants in Columbus, and soon, hopefully, to be 18. But right now, we have 17, and we, every other year or so, visit our customers, which would be the NTNs and the, you know, the Toyotas and the Enkais and all of our good customers that bring a lot of jobs to Columbus. And we don't actually go out and try to recruit much in Japan now, although we always have our eyes and ears open. But the way it's worked, it just goes by basically word of mouth. And one of our Japanese companies here that's doing quite well has a supplier that may be interested in the near future about bringing their one of their plants to Columbus. So you just never know. Never know.
So the economic focus for Columbus is really on China then?
Right now it is, absolutely. You know, we seemingly lose a lot of jobs to China. And my job, at least I feel it is my job, is to get some of those jobs back here and have China invest in Columbus, Indiana. And if it goes to Indiana anywhere, I'm still happy, but preferably Columbus. But, you know, the many companies that we visit, it's just amazing to me that when we sit down and talk with the management team of these companies, I always ask them, how many mayors have come to your plant to ask you to invest in their community? And not a one yet has said anything other than me. So the door is wide open in China for investment back here. And that's what we're looking for, is bringing some dollars and cents back to the United States, preferably Columbus, Indiana.
And you've been to China how many times now?
I think 5 or 6 times now. And
so not only the only mayor to go there, but you've done it 5 or 6 times.
Yeah. And it's like anything else, the Asian cultures, you have to bring you have to come up with a friendship relationship. And it takes some time. It did the same thing when the previous Mayor Stewart brought in some Japanese companies here. You have to do the same thing. You have to gain friendship, respect for one another, and then the business. And that's what's happening in China. And we've come up with some friendships. And it looks as though that's going to pay off here in the not-so-far-off future. So,
and part of that friendship plan, I think, is all the way down to teaching Mandarin in some of the local schools. Is that right?
Yes. We are. Well, we have over 40 languages spoken in our school corporation, and Mandarin is one of the languages, and we do have a fairly large number of Chinese who live and work in Columbus. So Mandarin is is good for us also to you know, go the other way, because when we go to China, you'd be surprised how many Chinese speak English. It's just amazing to me. And, you know, we're a culture of one language. And in China, the youngsters in school learn English at a very early age. You know, it's just amazing. So the relationships really count. If it happens to be a language barrier where we can all understand each other a little better, so be it. So it's working out fine.
Excellent. I just want to remind listeners that you're listening to Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong, and you can speak with the mayor toll-free at 877-285-9348 and locally at 855-0811. You could also send us an email at mayor@indiana.edu. Mayor Armstrong, back to the China issue, it was definitely one of those things that both Senators Obama and Clinton talked about when they were campaigning here.
Sure.
But there was I've got an article here from yesterday's Wall Street Journal where it talks about how when the candidates were up in the northwest part of the state, oftentimes the language used was sort of speaking negatively of China and, in fact, blaming China for the erosion of manufacturing jobs. Whereas when they came down to this part of the state, the language changed a little bit. And I think that's definitely the sort of thing that you're seeing in Columbus not the same type of relationship with China that they may have up north.
Well, that's true. You know, you can have a relationship or you can complain. And if we're complaining about all the jobs that we're losing that's going to China, you know, I don't blame people. They probably should complain. But if we don't try to do something about it, shame on us. And as a community our size, you know, 40,000 people, we want to bring jobs back to Columbus as much as possible, and to Indiana, by the way. When I'm over there, I'm also touting Indiana. But, you know, we have to work something out. And if it's bringing jobs back to Columbus and into Columbus that makes up for loss, that's my job, too. And, you know, I guess politicians, and I happen to be one, either fortunately or unfortunately, it's one of those things that you have to put politics aside when you're in a mayor's position. Our job is to get good-paying jobs for our citizens and have some, hopefully, good cultural exchanges. That's what Columbus has done for many years prior to me being here, and we hope that it continues on.
Well, we're going to go to the phones right now. We've got a caller on the line. Wesley, you're on the air with Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong. Wesley, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Mayor.
Hi, Wesley.
I've been living in Columbus for the last 5 years, and I'm originally from India.
Okay.
We do have a huge Indian community as well.
Yes, we do.
My question is, does the mayor also plan to take a trip to India and try to woo some of the Indian companies to come down here instead of sending jobs offshore and trying to establish and give them incentives to come down here? I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you. Absolutely, Wesley. Our position is to work as much as we can to bring any additional jobs to Columbus, good-paying jobs. Now, we do have Tata in Columbus, which helps us with the Indian population and another great culture that we can share. But right now, our focus is on China, but we're not leaving India out. That's another opportunity that we may have to bring more people to Columbus and bring the citizens from around into Columbus also for good-paying jobs. So, yes, we continue to work on economic development and any opportunity that we can come up with, we'll do so.
And, Mayor, how are these international trips funded?
Well, actually, the city of Columbus pays for my trip. Now, people say, oh, gosh, the mayor's over there on a junket and has a ball and blah, 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 blah. Well, we don't have enough time on the air to tell you what we go through, but try packing 3 weeks of luggage and stay at a different hotel every night. You know, moving from point A to point B, and I think the economic development executive director came up with, we were at 67 different meetings and different companies we visited in that amount of time. So
it's not all fun and games.
It's not, none of it is fun and games per se. We have to eat and we have to go to bed, but other than that, it's moving from point A to point B and trying to come up with the right timing to get there. So it's part of the, I guess, economic opportunities that Columbus has shared for a lot of years. Also, our economic development program is totally different than a lot of cities. A lot of cities fund economic development with anywhere from $40,000 to maybe $100,000 a year. I pay a $6,500 annual dues to our economic development program, and that's what I pay, period, except when we go on these trips. So it's sort of a private, a small 5% or so is government-funded, and the 95% is private-funded. So it works well for Columbus. It may not work well for every community, but it certainly has worked great here.
So shifting gears a little bit, we've got an email here, and the question is Columbus experiencing a fiscal crisis as a result of the legislature's actions this year?
Absolutely we are, and probably every city throughout the state of Indiana is doing so. We're going to work around it like we always have. I just really feel, you know, this is politics, call it what you want. I'm not very happy with what was passed this year because they had no idea what they passed. And I'm going to give you an example. We're fortunate enough in Columbus to have four representatives with three state representatives in the House and one in the Senate. But When we received information from the state that said, first of all, we were going to lose $833,000, then we were going to lose $1.1 million, and then we were going to lose $16,000, I emailed all of our legislators, and I asked them, you know, which is it? You know, I'm getting this information. What will I lose? One representative never returned my question with his answer at all. And the other three from the three different ones all gave me a different answer. So, you know, it's one of those things. This bill was passed, and I'm not against lowering property taxes, believe me. But it's the way it was done that bothered me, and it's going to bother a lot of cities. We have to change the way we're going to do business. The state changed the way they're going to do business. They introduced a sales tax. So we're going to have to do something, and we're working on it right now, and it'll all work out in the end. But I guarantee you next year the state will be back fixing it again. It's just the way it went down. People didn't think their way through it. They got on this train, and that train was going down the tracks, and it's election year. We want to be reelected, so we're going to reduce property taxes.
Well, so, in late March, you wrote a letter in the Columbus Republic that talked a little bit about the fact that you might have to make budget cuts across the board in the city departments. Where does that stand right now?
Well, right now we're seeing what we can and can't do. We don't have any numbers yet. If you believe that or not, we have to pass a budget, you know, in another 3-4 months, but we don't have any numbers to go on yet. In fact, we don't even have a tax rate. We don't have any tax money coming in. It's just another poo-pah. And most mayors, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, aren't happy about this. But anyway, we'll all make do. It'll all work out. There'll just be some things that we won't be doing that we used to do. And I had all my department heads, you know, tell me, you know, what are some of the things that we might reduce? And I've got a whole number list of all those things. But people will be upset because they're going to miss some service. But, you know, we got to tighten our belts. And once we tighten our belts, that means service in some capacity has to be lowered. And Columbus, Indiana is not used to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to have to get used to it, and we will. After 3 or 4 years, people will forget, and we'll go on to something else. But some of the services that we currently have will be reduced, not necessarily done away with, but certainly reduced.
And any idea yet which services may be impacted?
Probably most of it will be in the arena of, like, for example, our police department currently unlocks car doors for people. Now, it's not a priority call, but we have to do that several thousand times a year. Well, from now on, we're just going to give them a list of phone numbers, unless there's a child, you know, locked inside the car or something, an emergency. But we'll just have to give them a list and say, we're going to patrol. Here's some people to call. It's going to cost you $45 or $50 to not lock your keys in your car again. That may be a good way to keep from doing that. But, you know, we're not going to do that. There's just a whole list of things that I'm going through right now, and it's nothing earth-shattering. For example, we're probably going to take the sanitation off of our tax rolls and put it on our utility bill. A lot of cities are doing that anyway. You know, we're not the first, but it'll be a change for citizens. You know, there's some people who pay property taxes for our sanitation that don't use our sanitation pickup. So this will take that off of their property tax rolls, and they'll pay it as a monthly utility bill versus being on the tax roll. So we're just looking at ways to do business differently without hurting our property taxpayers.
Okay. I'm speaking with Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong. Mayor Armstrong, we've got another email here, this one from Charles. Here it goes. Do you see any impact to Columbus from the recently announced plans by Arvin Mentor to spin off their auto parts unit?
Well, not yet, but in today's society, you never know if it's going to be good or bad. When Arvin and Meritor combined, that sure did create a lot of resentment from citizens. But the bottom line is the job stayed here. Right now, as you well know, there's a little leak in the auto industry. Things aren't going as well as they were a year and a half ago. You know, so will this affect some businesses here in Columbus? Well, it may. We don't know yet, but in all probability it will affect them, because if you're not selling automobiles, there's no reason to make automobile components or parts. But I don't look for anything to see jobs actually leave Columbus due to somebody buying somebody out or going into a joint venture or whatever. So that yet remains to be seen. But again, what scares me most is the automobile industry itself as a whole has gone down quite a bit.
Just want to remind listeners that we've got time for a couple more calls and emails. If you want to give us a call here toll-free at 877-285-9348 or locally at 855-0811. You can also send us an email at mayor@indiana.edu. Mayor Armstrong, back to the issue of local business. Any new companies coming into the Columbus area?
Well, we're hoping so. It's one of those things on our economic development trip. We've talked to some companies who are very close and making a decision, and we're hoping that decision is Columbus. We've lost some before at the last minute, so I can't say for sure they're going to occur, but it looks pretty good for a couple businesses here. The jobs won't be a large number of jobs beginning, but at the end of the day, there'll be good jobs, and they'll grow. For example, several years ago, about 6 years ago, 7 years ago now, one of our Japanese companies started here, built a new building, and had like 8 employees, and today they have 100. And that's what you're going to see in all probability with some of these smaller firms, that maybe they're large, for example, in China or Japan, but here they're not as large yet, but they can grow. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for continual growth out of a company. That means it's a good company. It's doing things the right way, and that's what we're looking for.
So we're talking mainly then about foreign companies coming into the Columbus area? Or?
Well, yes. In all probability, we're always out looking, believe me. But I also don't want to steal from anybody else. We get inquiries from all over the country on a regular basis, and we get leads from the state of Indiana. We follow up on each and every one of those. The problem we have in Columbus is we've got about a 3.2% unemployment rate. And a lot of these companies that are located in the United States, maybe on the West Coast or close to the West Coast, that want to come to the Midwest, look at our unemployment rate. And if it's at 3.2%, they're probably going to go somewhere where they're around 5.5% or even 6% unemployment, because they have availability of employees right away. So it depends on the business, depends on the job. You know, we just had the Cummins new jobs at $580,000 a year, another 600 from them that'll probably begin sometime next year with their new engine plant. Some of the things that we're doing downtown, creating new jobs. So we're creating those jobs. We continue to look for new jobs. I never stop looking for jobs, because at some point you're going to lose some for various reasons. It's either poor business practices, or maybe they've sold their business to Uncle Joe somewhere and they want to be in wherever, Montana, who knows. So you're going to lose some. You just keep looking for good quality businesses, and that's what we continue to do.
All right, Mayor Armstrong, we've got another email here. This one, again, from Charles. His question is, has Columbus and Bartholomew County seen any drop in property tax payments this spring due to the mortgage crisis?
So far, and I'm going to knock on wood, either my head or my desk, we've done okay. We haven't broken any records by all means, but we're pretty stable right now. It appears that the houses in the $150,000 to $200,000 ranges are selling very quickly. If you get into the $400,000 to $500,000 range, it seems like it's a little more difficult. But I think that would be, if things were going well, or if they aren't going well, you're going to have that. But overall, I think we have been pretty steady. I've talked to a lot of real estate people. Some of them have had their best year last year, and so far this year they've done pretty well. Some are just steady. So overall, I think we're doing okay. Now, will this hit Columbus like it's hit, other cities in Indiana and throughout the United States? I'm guessing it will. But I hope it's not as hard as some of them, for example, on the West Coast. But we try to keep an eye on that as much as possible, and so far it's been pretty positive.
Just want to switch gears because we're almost out of time. We got about 5 more minutes left. But one thing I wanted to get to before we do run out of time is the Downtown Commons. Want to let me know what kind of progress is being made right now?
Well, that's a great comment, Colin. Right now, as far as the Commons project, where the Commons mall was, they're pouring footers for that right now. There's been meetings, all kinds of meetings on the Commons, trying to get that nailed down, and would love to have that nailed down by about October so we can begin letting that out for bid. Because we need to get that replaced as quickly as possible. But, again, we want it done properly. We want it right. We just had public meetings last week on our indoor park, so that's going very well. The hotel, it should begin very, very soon in that Commons Mall area. The parking garage, by the way, we'll throw that in there, should be opening up mid-June. The first one we're building, 50 years we tried to get one, and now we've got one. It looks like we're going to build two. So right now things are pretty well booming. We're living within our means, but good things are happening downtown.
And this is sort of coming into the construction season, I guess, if you will. The weather's improving.
Yep.
And is this all part of a larger redevelopment scheme for the downtown area?
Yes, it is. This is something that we started actually a little over 3 years ago. With my Vision 2020 program, and what I did was just got a lot of business people together, and I said, I want your expertise, but I also want money. I said resources, but I meant money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? They have been really, really great. They've been to many, many meetings. We've had some very opportunistic dollars and cents come in to help fund some of this without using any public funding. So, everybody's working together to make the downtown as vibrant as it can be, and the complete downtown will be changed in the next 3 or 4 years. So I'm looking forward to it, and that will be my last hurrah.
Yeah, what's your grand vision for downtown Columbus?
A lot of activity, a lot of people, a lot of retail, a lot of restaurants. Again, we're going to have our second hotel downtown starting very, very soon. The one that was just opened in February has done a miraculous job. They have had many, many sold-out nights, and the overflow goes to some other hotels around us. So, right now, as I say, things are good, but as you well know, Colin, that spigot can be turned off at any time. But right now, I think for the next 3 to 4 years, we're going to be okay. Let's just see what happens.
So you mentioned this sort of being your last hurrah. Does that mean you're not planning on running again for mayor?
Exactly. this is it. I've said it publicly. I've loved this job, and I still I know I'll miss it, but sometimes you have to have somebody in new blood, a different set of ideas. And, I've had a great run here with the help of so many people, and I've really appreciated it and enjoyed the job. But, you got to know when to step out of line also, and I think this will do it.
Well, Mayor Armstrong, thanks a lot for your time.
Okay.
We are at the end of the show here. This has been Ask the Mayor with Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong. I'm Colin Bishop. Join us again next week when Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett will be our guest. Thanks for listening. And for engineer Mike Pascash and producer Adam Ragusa, this has been Ask the Mayor. Production support for Ask the Mayor comes from the South Dunn Street Project, represented by Brian Lappin Real Estate.